Grace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is John 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. It has been said that the Gospel of John is like a body of water, deep enough for an elephant to drown in and shallow enough for a child to wade in, and that is true. We usually think of the Gospel of John as a pushover, whether that be in Greek or in English, and then when we start to examine it a little bit more closely, we find out that that is not so. This text is a good example of why it is difficult to preach on the Gospel of John. People usually say these four sets of synonyms in this conversation between Peter and Jesus, namely two words for love, two words for feed, two words for sheep, and two words for to know, that they are significant. Well, in the history of exegesis, if you will study the commentaries which have been written, both ancient and modern, the scholars are about divided on whether these synonyms are or are not significant. And so there is probably something more important than that in this. And I want to mention just one of those that usually is not thought about, and that is Jesus' first question, which he never really repeats. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, Peter neither answered that question. He never answered the more than these, nor did Jesus repeat it in his second and third question. And I think that is significant. That's significant. It was so hard for him to hear these words that Jesus was gracious enough not to repeat them. More than these. Who are the these? Very likely the six other disciples who were with him on that occasion and who were hearing what Jesus had said. Now, if ever a man was an example of what Luther meant when he said that a Christian is both saint and sinner, it was the Apostle Peter. There's no doubting that he was a first among equals. He's always mentioned first in the list, in the four lists of the disciples. He is always quick to speak, and very often he is exactly right, and Jesus commends him for his answers. Then again, when he speaks first, his thoughts come from the flesh and not from the new man. You remember the occasion at Caesarea Philippi when Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? And they gave him several opinions. And then he said, yeah, but who do you say I am? And it was Peter who spoke and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you remember how Jesus commended him on that occasion. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then he spoke some very, very complimentary words. And then when he gave his first prediction of his suffering and death, of all things, Peter turns around and says in effect, look, you're just too nice of a fella. That just could never happen to me. Mercy me, it just can't be. And Jesus turns on him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You are a scandal to me. A scandal. A stumbling block. And then he himself explains what that means. You are a scandal because you're not thinking the thoughts of God, but the thoughts of men. Now, that very same idea occurs once more. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he quotes the prophet Zechariah, and he says that God said that he would strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock would be scattered. And Peter knew right away what he meant. He didn't need much explanation, and he said, now, all the rest might be a scandal to you. All the rest might be scandalized because of you, but not this man. And then Jesus, of course, predicts the threefold denial, and Peter says, if everybody else denies you, I'm not going to. In other words, I'm much better. If ever a man was thinking the thoughts of man, it was then. Peter was a scandal to his Lord, to himself, and to the other disciples. And all of these things Peter must have been thinking about when Jesus asked him the question, do you love me more than thee? Because Peter had said, by the way, theologians have debated the point whether Jesus meant, do you mean more to you? Do I mean more to you than these people, or do you love me more than they love me? And of course, in either case, Jesus is asking Peter a soul-searching question. Now, this wasn't the last time this happened. You remember the incident in recorded in Galatians 2, when Peter was in Syrian Antioch, and the Christians came up from Jerusalem, and Peter became afraid of them, and he withdrew from eating with the Gentiles because he was afraid that the Jewish Christians would think the less of him. And it took a man no less than the Apostle Paul to get up and tell Peter right there in front of everybody else that he was wrong, that he was being a scandal to these people here. The German scholar Bengel, Albert Bengel, makes the assertion that here we have Paulus contra mundum, Paul against the whole world. And maybe that's hyperbolic, but it shows you what an important occasion this was when this great man, Peter, grew so weak in the faith that he became a scandal to other people in the church. But you notice he doesn't speak against Paul. When Paul tells him right then and there what he had done wrong, he doesn't remonstrate with him. And just one more. Legend tells us during the Neronian persecutions, that Peter was in Rome, and there was a threat of his crucifixion, and so Peter ran. And when he got down on the Appian Road south of Rome, the Lord met him and said, Quo Vadis, which means, where are you going? And of course, Peter answered the Lord, I don't want to be crucified. And the Lord told him to turn around and go back. And then legend has it that when he was crucified, he told the crucifiers that he preferred to be crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified like his Lord was, head up. Now, whether the story is true or not is not known for sure, but it sure fits this character, this man, who time and again became a scandal, a stumbling block, not only to himself, but to other people. But wonder of wonders, by the grace of God, he admitted it. All of us, finally, have to see ourselves as we really are. We can be the greatest hindrance in the world to our own selves in our preaching and teaching if we won't admit what we ourselves are. Paul said, skibala, dung. His righteousness is no better than the excrement of animals and of human beings. But he, like the Apostle Peter, found the righteousness of God in Christ. Simul justus et peccator, at the same time, saint and sinner. To the extent that you see yourself as a sinner, to that extent you will be successful in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may God grant all of us a good assessment of ourselves so that the gospel will mean more to us than anything else, the message for which we would rather die than see it hidden or swept under the rug or you name it. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.